Blog Talk Radio.
So I'm gon' grab you with the left, the left. I feel like I'm the last real nigga left, the left. It's like I'm on an island by myself, the left. Please don't make me slap you with the left, the left. You will fake, so I'm gon' grab you with the left, the left. I feel like I'm the last real nigga left, the left. It's like I'm on an island by myself, the left. God, please protect me if this shit go left.
What it do, bitches? I have an awesome Friday show for you. So quick little program note. There's some changes, some slight changes that are happening. Actually, they're not slight. I'm sure some people listening to the live show will not be happy about it for scheduling reasons, but gotta do what you gotta do, dog. So I was hoping that this new microphone that I've been using would allow me to take off that goofy-ass headset and still do the live show in the exact same way that we do it. Turns out that's not true. The quality of the live show audio is... I mean, it's always been... But, you know, it's apparently there are some aspects of it that it's not just low quality. It's like it fucks up a lot. So it's not just like, oh, we can deal with it, but it's low quality, but it fucks up. So Lilith says sometimes it sounds like I'm talking underwater and yada yada, all that stuff. So anyway, what's going to happen is you are now going to get live show audio that is pristine, the same audio that you hear on YouTube is going to be the audio that you get for the live show as well. Now, the way that we're going to do that is I'm going to do the show same time that I do it, 11 to 12:30. Basically what happens is the second I'm off air, it gets uploaded and the show will run as – so the live show will run basically from 1 o'clock until, I guess, 2:30. Yeah, would that, yeah, that's what it would be, 1 o'clock to 2:30. So it'll be – the live show is technically happening basically right after I finish the actual live show. So nobody actually hears the live show, but then it goes live. And there's another added upside to this, which is no more breaks. So you're going to get basically an hour and a half or so of me ranting and yelling and screaming with pristine audio and no breaks. Now, I know that sucks maybe some of the live show listeners. Hey, man, you're switching up the times on me. I don't like that. Well, I mean, look, we switched one time before from – we used to do it at, I think, 4 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern time, and obviously switched it to the morning here. Well, this is morning for somebody like me. But anyway, so the recording will happen at the same time, but obviously it won't be live. It goes live directly after I'm done doing it. So that's the best way and the most streamlined way to get this super high-quality audio, you know, basically using it for Blog Talk Radio as well. So that's going to start on Monday, and we'll see how that goes. I would imagine once everybody gets used to the timing, you'll love it. So anyway, quick little program note there. Now, without further ado, the last show with shitty audio, we have... We're going to go to some incredibly bizarre news on President-elect Trump. In fact, I got two and a half stories about him. It's not good. Then we get into the Democrats who are still in denial, which is one of the saddest things to watch. And it never ends, man. It never ends. I also have the Fox interesting theory on how to lower suicide rates. Spoiler alert, Trump. The answer is Donald Trump. Donald Trump lowers suicide rates, according to this jackass. So anyway, let's get started here, and we're going to do that with something that if Hillary did it, I think everybody would be pissed, but Donald somehow gets away with it. So I have some incredibly bizarre news on President-elect Trump for you. He's staying on as an executive producer of NBC's The New Celebrity Apprentice. He's going to be president of the United States, but also executive producer of The New Celebrity Apprentice. So for those of you who don't know, Arnold Schwarzenegger is taking over for him as the host. And Trump is going to still advise. But more importantly than that is he's going to get paid as he's president of the United States. Now, a lot of people brought up, because it's the most logical response ever, hey, dude, you're going to be president of the United States. Should you really be taking a paycheck from NBC? You know, NBC has a news division, and they're supposed to cover you objectively. And they're supposed to tell the American people, hey, Donald Trump is wrong when he does X, Y, and Z. You know, I think you're setting up a little conflict of interest when NBC is giving a paycheck to the president of the United States. And furthermore, how are we supposed to know that President Donald Trump isn't going to do favors for NBC when he's getting a paycheck from them consistently? You're telling me there's not going to be favoritism. You're telling me they're not going to say, hey, help us out. We're giving you a paycheck every goddamn week. And he's not going to say, yeah, fuck off. No, this is the exact kind of conflict of interest that everybody rightly went after Hillary Clinton for. You know, Kellyanne Conway, you know, one of the top campaign advisors to him, I think she actually ran his campaign towards the end there. He switched his campaign manager like 82 times. But she said, you know, the president has a right to do what he wants in his spare time. Oh, does he? Would you have said that if Hillary Clinton was elected and she's like, I'm going to go do the Clinton Foundation stuff now, and we're going to go take million-dollar checks from Qatar and Saudi Arabia, but it's okay, don't worry. I get to do what I want in my spare time. No, you would have said, rightly, whoa, you don't get to do that. That's an obvious conflict of interest, and we can't have the president being pulled in 1,000 different directions because they're taking money from everybody under the sun. But that's exactly what's happening here. So now I love the dodge that they give because they're aware that this is a huge problem. You're going to have NBC pay Donald Trump when NBC has a news division, and the news division is supposed to go tough on him and everybody. So they're like, oh, shit, we know that this is a problem because maybe the call will come from the higher-ups. Go easy on the president. He's kind of our boy. So what did they say? They said, no, it's you guys are crazy. Conflict of interest. It's not a conflict of interest. See, what had happened was MGM, they produced the show, and NBC is affiliated with the show in a different way or something because it runs on the channel, but MGM produces it, so the paycheck isn't coming from NBC, it's coming from MGM, so it's okay. You guys buying this? Even if that's true, the conflict of interest switches to MGM. So then MGM gets their favoritism, and MGM gets their special corporate welfare deals and subsidies and tax breaks and tax havens and so on and so forth. No, the president of the United States of America should be taking money from the American people. Full stop. We pay the salary of the president does our bidding. That's how it should be with all the politicians. We pay the politicians, you know, go to Washington and they try to implement the will of the people. But no, the way it works right now, all these politicians take money from all these different corporations and billionaires, and they snub the people, they snub their constituents and their will, and they do the will of the rich, and they do the will of the corporations. And now with President-elect Trump, guys, like this shouldn't be a debatable thing. Like they're debating it on TV now. Like, is it okay if the president keeps taking money from because he's going to be on The Celebrity Apprentice? He's going to be an executive producer? And also, is he actually going to be an executive producer? Like, really, he's going to sit in on the meetings in the morning and go, okay, guys, pitch me your ideas. I like that idea. No, I don't like that idea. That's what an executive producer is supposed to do. No, he's not going to do that. So then why would they still keep him on, and why would they keep paying him? Because the whole point is the corruption. The whole point is to buy the special favors. He's not actually going to sit in on the meetings. He's going to be fucking president of the United States of America. You think he's got time for the goddamn apprentice? No. So the funny thing is they're deflecting and denying that the money is going to be corrupting when literally the entire point of the money is to corrupt him. He ain't draining the goddamn swamp. You know, that's when he said, oh, drain the swamp. You know, all the lobbyists corrupt big money in Washington. I'm going to go drain the swamp. No, you're draining your balls in everybody's face. You're draining the swamp in our mouths. That's what you're doing. You want to bathe in the swamp because you've appointed the swamp into your administration, as we got over a million times, whether it be Mike Pompeo for the CIA or Jeff Sessions for Attorney General or Goldman Sachs in multiple positions in the administration. When you ripped Hillary for the exact same thing, that she took money from Goldman Sachs, then you turn around and you go, hey, Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, Goldman Sachs, where you at, dog? Come on now. This is your position. To control the federal budget, he picked not just somebody from Goldman Sachs, the motherfucking president of Goldman Sachs. Who does that? I mean, that's like taking your corruption and just rub your face in it, bitch. So don't believe the hype. He's turning into the swamp. And now, really, that's what you're going to do? You're going to take the money from NBC or MGM and defend it. It's cool, whatever, bro. It's not a big deal. Got nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. Right, because if Hillary Clinton had done something like that, oh, don't worry, no. She's just going to take money from this giant corporation, but she won't do any favors for them. Crazy conspiracy theorist. No, I believe you guys are the conspiracy theorists, and obviously they're trying to get special favors, and they're probably going to get them. Okay, good googly moogly. What is happening? What is happening? I don't know what's happening. You tell me what's happening. Okay, now that's just, that's just the beginning. It's going to get a lot worse, because this next story, I'm almost so angry about it that it might even be hard for me to form sentences. Like, that's the anger now is overriding all of the facts that led to the anger. Because the facts are just so clear and so overwhelming that I feel like I turn into the Hulk and seethe with anger. Oh, why would you do this? Okay, ready? So here we go. More on Trump. Donald Trump has made his pick for Labor Secretary. It's a guy named Andrew Puzder, something like that. I don't know how the fuck you pronounce it, but it doesn't matter because fuck this guy. He's the CEO of Hardee's and Carl's Jr., the fast food places. Now, every day we come out here, we tell you his new picks. They started bad, and they somehow got worse. Mike Pompeo for the CIA, a guy who said, we should execute Edward Snowden. Jeff Sessions for Attorney General, a guy who says, good people don't smoke marijuana. And he's going to be in charge now. He has the ability to crack down on the different states. So if they legalize marijuana as they did in Colorado and California, Attorney General Jeff Sessions could go, that's cute. I disagree. And since federal law overrides state law and marijuana is illegal at a federal level, maybe I just come in there and crack down on all of it and shut it all down. He can do that. Drain the swamp, right, Don? Okay. He also criticized a white civil rights attorney and said, you're a traitor to your race. He said, I used to be cool with the KKK and think they were good guys. Then I found out some of them smoked weed. You're beginning to see a picture here. Steve Mnuchin from Goldman Sachs, the criminal organization that had fraud as a business model, Treasury Secretary. The president of Goldman Sachs controlled the federal budget. The guy is appointing the swamp and then some. Betsy DeVos, a Christian fundamentalist who doesn't believe in public education, to lead public education. You ready for this? Now we got another piece of the puzzle. And again, I keep saying it, but it's actually true every goddamn time I say it. We may have the worst pick here. Now remember, Donald Trump, he ran on, at times, I mean, he contradicted himself every 33 seconds, but sometimes he would say, look, I'm fighting for the working man. I'm fighting for the working man. Hey, that's what Carrier, you're not going to, I'm not going to let you put your jobs overseas, okay? You're not going to outsource. So he would say, I'm going to do infrastructure spending. I'm going to look out for the forgotten man. I'm going to protect Social Security and Medicare. So obviously, for Labor Secretary, you picked a liberal, right? Because it's not me. It's you who said, on these specific issues, I'm actually somewhat liberal. I'm protectionist. I don't want to outsource deals. I want to look out for the workers. I don't want to be negative towards the workers. Okay, well, this guy, Andrew Puzder, let's go through some of his policy positions. First of all, he's against Obama's overtime rules. Okay, what happened? I thought you cared about the workers. Well, that's a reform that helps the workers a lot. I mean, it used to be the case that about $23,000 a year and less, that if you made that, you get overtime by law. Obama came in and said, no, $47,000 a year and less. You know how many millions of people that helps? That helps a lot. Doesn't matter. They say, we don't want it. It helps workers. It cracks down on the business owners. Cracks down. Makes them make a little bit less profit. Can't have it. He's against Obama's overtime rules. He's against paid sick leave. Oh, no. See, now understand, the United States is the only modern industrial nation that does not have paid sick leave by law. There's been some talk about that recently. Hey, maybe we should start moving in that direction. The Democrats are on the page, the Republicans. To be fair to Trump, his rhetoric on the campaign trail was more open on issues like paid maternity leave than any Republican had ever been before him, and I even gave him credit for that. His plan wasn't as good as Hillary Clinton's on paid maternity leave. She gave more time, and there were more aspects of hers that I liked. But you know what? Hey, at least he gave something. Nope. This guy's against paid sick leave. So you can forget that. You know what else he's against? A minimum wage increase. We have a minimum wage that is not a living wage. You can work full-time, and if you make minimum wage, you don't make enough money to survive. He goes, yeah. What's the problem? 80% of the American people, a majority of Democrats, independents, and Republicans, say, yeah, raise the wage. Where's the issue? He says, no, I'm not going to raise the wage. I don't agree with that. And also, you need to understand some other basic facts about the minimum wage. If it just kept up with what it was in 1968, so if you just adjusted for inflation and made it equal to what it was in 1968, today it would be over $10 an hour. If you tied it to productivity, it would be over $20 an hour. If you tied it to the earnings of the top 1%, it would be over $22 an hour. So this idea of, oh, don't be crazy, it would lose jobs. The economy would collapse if you raise the minimum wage. Really? So then why is it that in Australia they have a minimum wage of over $15 an hour, and they seem to be doing just peachy? So all the arguments against it are bullshit. It's corporate propaganda to keep the profits high and keep screwing the people, the working class. And this guy who's going to be the labor secretary, who Trump picked for labor secretary, he's like, yeah, no, I love that. I want to keep screwing the workers. You're going to pick somebody for labor secretary who is against labor. I'm still not done here. He's against healthcare reform. He's for deregulation. By the way, what led to the subprime mortgage crisis and the Great Recession again? It would be deregulation. He loves Ayn Rand. Ayn Rand, of course, the libertarian writer who is as extreme as it gets in libertarian politics. Where, you know, basically the idea is the only thing government should do is, protect property rights, and everything else is theft. Taxation is theft, period. So you can have a court system, you can have police, but anything outside of that, you're getting crazy there. So all the social safety net programs, you know, Social Security, earned benefit programs, Medicare, Medicaid, forget all that. Public roads. Are you crazy? That's theft. You want to tax the rich and poor and make infrastructure? Oh, my God. You're a fucking thief is what you are. Ayn Rand. I mean, they're usually when kids are teenagers, usually when you're a teenager, you go through an Ayn Rand phase. I read all of Ayn Rand's books. Well, not all of them, but a lot of them. And it's appealing to like a fucking child. Oh, yeah, selfishness is actually virtue. Yeah, that's what it is. And then at some point you grow out of it. Not him. Yeah, Ayn Rand. I love Ayn Rand. Still haven't gotten to the two biggest facts. You're thinking, come on, man, we just went through all this guy's the worst guy ever. Okay, wait for this. He's for automation. So he told Business Insider this year that machines were, quote, always polite, they always upsell, they never take a vacation. They never show up late. There's never a slip and fall. or an age, sex, or race discrimination case. So let's understand that. The guy who Trump wants for labor secretary wants to replace labor with automation. The person you want for labor secretary is supposed to be on the side of labor. Automation is going to happen to a degree anyway, and we're going to have to find ways to ameliorate the downsides of that, of course. But you shouldn't have a labor secretary on the side of the other, on the side of the thing that's taking the jobs. But he is, he's on that side. I mean, this is unbelievable. And then finally, if it wasn't bad enough, he and his wife gave more than $300,000 to Trump's campaign and to the RNC. Drain the swamp, lobbyists, you know, lobbyists, billionaires, corporations. They're buying our politicians. And our politicians are puppets. Remember in the primary debate, is Jeb a puppet? Look, let me just tell you, is Jeb a puppet? Believe me. I mean, look, he took money from this billionaire. I think he's a puppet. Let me just tell you. He was talking about Woody Johnson at that time, you know, the head of Johnson & Johnson, billionaire. And Trump was calling Jeb a puppet to that guy. Fast forward to when Trump got the nomination and he was in the general election. Who came to Trump's team and started raising money for him and giving him money? Woody Johnson. So, look, all the attacks, it was all fucking window dressing. I mean, the guy, he yearns to be somebody like Hillary Clinton, an elite establishment insider who gets a pat on the back from everybody at the cocktail party. It's what he's always wanted to be. So now he's in a position where he could be that. You think he's really going to look out for the common man? All of his appointments say the exact opposite. And even when he did something that was decent, like keep the carrier jobs here, the devil's in the details of that deal. So, first of all, they said originally he's going to keep 1,000 jobs here. Then that became 800. Now it's 700. Just keeps going down. And so over 1,000 jobs are being shipped out. And what did the carrier get in return? $7 million tax subsidy. Plus deregulation. The details of that deal are not great. I mean, look, I'm happy that some of the jobs are staying here, but it was mostly good salesmanship that he's pitching to make people believe, like, oh, no, he really cares about the worker. Really? Then why is his labor secretary pick not on the side of labor? Anti-labor. I mean, you couldn't get a worse pick than this. I mean, this guy is the epitome of a corrupt, greedy billionaire. And he has donated money, man. They donated money to Donald Trump, and Donald Trump put him in his administration. That is exactly the thing some people voted for Donald Trump to stop, because this is a Hillary Clinton move. Oh, you donated money for me, now let me do favors for you. Well, Don, you're doing the exact same goddamn thing. Dude, you're not draining the swamp. You've become the swamp, and it's incredibly, incredibly transparent to anybody who follows the facts. Okay, all right, now, let me do one more here for you as I take a sip of the drink that's been sitting next to me for probably a day and a half, which is gross. Yeah, that was gross. I need a little drink, though, need a little sip. I have a really interesting Huffington Post YouGov poll that came out this week. It's about the issue of trust in government. So listen to these numbers. They say 53% of the public, including 71% of Trump voters, agree that everyday Americans understand what the government should do better than the so-called experts. Trump voters say by a 32-point margin, 49% to 17%, that they prefer to see him appoint people who have not previously worked for the government. Okay, now, some people are going to take this poll and they're going to go, aha, we told you. Trump supporters are idiots, and that's the end of the conversation. Now, it's certainly true that some of them are idiots. There's no denying that. And it is certainly true that there's this really unreasonable and dangerous anti-intellectual streak in the Republican Party. You know, just the fact of how many people in the Republican base deny climate science, that's troubling. And that's an area where you want to slap them out of their complacency and say, no, you don't know better than the experts. Sorry. You need to pay attention here because you are wrong. To steal from Trump, wrong, wrong, wrong. So, yes, are there issues where it's like, hey, shut up and listen to the experts. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And they do. Yes. But having said that, I'm actually a lot more sympathetic to the results of this poll than many people on the left are going to be. And I'll explain why. So the reason why people, especially Trump voters, they don't want people who have been in government, and they don't want people who are experts, and they say, you know what, man, well, I think we know better than you do, is because it comes from a genuine distrust of the establishment. And they are right to distrust the establishment, because the establishment has been screwing everybody for decades. So ever since we started allowing money in politics in the late 1970s with one Supreme Court case, and then there were subsequent Supreme Court cases that happened since then, which legalized it even more, ever since then, we have had a steady decline of trust in government, and it's a direct result of the fact that now politicians represent their donors. Their donors give them money when they run their campaigns, and then as soon as they get in there, they turn around and do favors for their donors, and they flat out snub their constituents. So there was a study from recently, a few years ago, a Princeton study, that found that the United States is effectively an oligarchy. Because what happens is, when you track the opinion polls of the people and compare that to the policies we get, there's almost no correlation. But when you track the opinion polls of the donor class, the billionaires, the corporations, the elites, it tracks almost perfectly. So they get what they want. You don't get what you want. Which is why, for example, you could elect Congress, come back a month or 2 months later and do an opinion poll, and the American people, only like 9% of them, or 12% of them, or if you're really lucky and it's a crazy day and the American people are really digging Congress, 21% of them say, okay, we like Congress. So think about that. You just elected them, and then the best you could hope for is like a 21% approval rating. Because people know we're getting fucked. These so-called experts who are, you know, doing policy and setting the direction of the country, they don't give a fuck about me. That's what people think. So they say, hey, you know what, bitch, step aside. I got this. You know, me and my buddy can figure out what's better for people more than you can. And guess what? They're right. They're right. And even when you look at opinion polls among Republicans, there are certain things that pretty much all Americans agree on. Like, hey, we actually really like Social Security. We actually really like Medicare, just to name two. We actually want a minimum wage increase. So there are all these things. Hey, stop fighting all these unnecessary wars that Republicans, average Joe Republicans, and average Joe Democrats agree on. And the elites, the establishment, the so-called experts have been standing in the way of getting the American people what they want for decades. So this feeling of, you know what, only 17% of Trump voters say, I want somebody with previous government experience. They want that because they know if somebody's been in that system, they've become corrupt, and they ain't going to look out for their best interest. And again, the earlier numbers too, 53% of the public, so a majority of the public, and 71% of Trump voters agree that everyday Americans understand what the government should do better than the so-called experts. Because you look at the opinion polls, and the American people are actually super liberal and super reasonable, and they just want the basics. The same as every other modern nation. So I actually am very sympathetic to the responses in this, and there are going to be a lot of liberals who only harp away on the angle of, oh, the right is against experts. See? No, it's deeper than that, man. It's not just that. And again, that is a problem when you talk about stuff like climate science, or you talk about, hey, economists say X and you disagree. I get it. There are areas where experts are totally correct and the common man is totally wrong. I get that. But it goes deeper than that. It's not just about that. It's also about The establishment ain't looking out for me. I know it ain't looking out for me. So I'd rather let me take the reins and let me take control, because at least I know I'm not going to screw over myself and everybody in the country. Okay. It is break time, bitch. All right, I need everybody to relax. Relax. Stay right there. We're going to be right back. And when we come back, the Democrats are doubling down on the dead wrong strategy. And I will likely flip out over that. All right, stay right there, guys.
Yo, Peter Pablo.
Ooh, he riding clean, too.
Drop a dime on that. I don't like that. Let's take some calls from the request line. Caller number one. Hey, man, what's up? This is Dominique from Shady No Trailer.
What's up, Dominique?
I want to hear that song from Lil Yachty and Peter Pablo.
All right, I got that coming right out for you.
Now, shout out to the radio station that gave you what you wanted. W Boom Boom B, baby. What you doing right up front? What you doing right up back?
Every time I hear that song, Freak a Leak, I think, I feel like he slips in a dude's name in the middle of there. It's like, hold on, let me actually play the part of it I'm talking about. See if I can. Where are you? Mm-mm-mm. Where are you? Let's see. Hold on. Let me see. Shamika, Keisha, and then I feel like he says Charles. He definitely does it. He says like Chara or some shit, but I feel like he's dropping hints. Petey Pablo is like, maybe I said Charles. Maybe I said Carl. Every time I hear that song, that's what I think. I'm like, oh, Petey, we're on you, dog. We see you. All right. let's go to Nancy Pelosi. She's pissing me off. And you're about to find out why. All right. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi went on the Sunday talk shows, and she spoke about the new direction of the Democratic Party.
What do you tell Democrats who want a new direction? And then go to you, what are you going to do differently?
Well, I don't think that people want a new direction. Our values unify us, and our values are about supporting America's working families. That is one that everyone is in agreement on. What we want is a better connection of our message to working families in our country, and that clearly in the election showed that message wasn't coming through.
Democrats, since 2008, the numbers are ghastly for Democrats. In Senate, Democrats are down 10%. In the House, down 19.3%. And in governors, 35%. The Democrats are getting clobbered at every level over multiple elections. That seems like a real crisis
for
the party.
Well, you're forgetting that we were up 56. You know, we went up so high in 2006 and 2008. And let me just put that in perspective. When President Clinton was elected, the Republicans came in big in the next election. When President Bush was president, we came in big in the next in the subsequent election. When President Obama became president, the Republicans came in big in the next election.
I guess my question is, the Republicans reacted to their losses with a big revolution and a change. They have a very new president at the top of their party now. You have somebody like Agricultural Secretary Tom Vilsack saying that the Democratic Party is like a tree that, quote, looks healthy on the outside, but is in the throes of a slow and long-term demise.
Well, I have enormous respect for the Secretary, but I'm more optimistic about the strength of the Democratic Party.
And you shouldn't be. So Harry Reid also weighed in on this, and he said, quote, they have Trump, I understand that, but I don't think the Democratic Party is in that big of trouble. So what, is evidence irrelevant? Are you just going to take your feelings and say, hey, that's better than whatever the data is? No, the facts are the facts, man. You can't argue against that. So it's true. You have Republicans have a majority of state legislatures. Republicans have a majority of governorships. Republicans have a majority in the House of Representatives. Republicans have a majority in the Senate. Republicans have the presidency. They control absolutely everything. I mean, for fuck's sake, should we go down to the dog catcher level and check the numbers to see if they're winning there too? So you have to understand something, guys. This, like, poo-pooing of, oh, we're fine, we're doing just fine. I don't think people even want a new direction. That's what Nancy Pelosi was saying there. You're going to keep losing. Unless you get your act together, you're going to keep losing. Because now, I mean, think about how low you've gotten. You're at the bottom of the barrel. You're below the bottom of the barrel when you're making arguments like, well, I mean, look, it's the ebb and flow of things. You know what I'm saying? So no matter, it'll happen. You know, they'll go, they'll win some, we'll win some. No. That you can't look at it like that. You got to do a bunch of hard work in between to get to the point where you win. The Republicans, after the 2012 loss, they came out with the autopsy report. And they said, geez, we got to figure out why we're getting our ass handed to us, why we're getting our clocks cleaned. Well, come to find out, they said, okay, we need to connect more with minorities, and they had a whole list of things. Now, I made fun of that report because the reality is the arguments they made were basically change what we appear to be without actually changing the policies. So there's plenty to criticize there. But at least they understood they had a problem. The Democrats were like, nope, nope. I don't quote, I don't think the Democratic Party is in that big of trouble. What? I don't think they really need a new direction. I don't think the people want us in a new direction. No, they obviously do. That's why you lost. So you lost to a guy who was caught on tape saying, I grab him by the pussy. I don't even wait. Bragging that he's grabbing women and there's not really consent there. And then women came out after him and were like, yeah, he did that to me and there was no consent there. You lost to that guy. You lost to a guy who had a 63% unfavorable rating at one point during the general election. On election day, he was at 60%. How do you lose to that guy? How do you lose to a guy who went bankrupt 6 times and ran on his business record? How do you lose to a reality show buffoon with a meerkat squatting on his head? Because your candidate was just that much worse. She was, man. She inspired nobody. She inspired nobody, and when anybody, you know, looked at her record, they went, there's a lot of smoke there. Maybe there's a fire. There's a lot of talk of corruption. There's a lot of different scandals. Even if 10% of the scandals are true and 90% are false, there's still an issue here now, isn't there? So it's a reflection on you. So bottom line, Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, and the rest of you clowns, the reason why they're struggling with this is it's a rejection of them because they are the Democratic establishment. They are the Democratic elite. They're not real liberals. They're not real progressives. They're not actually fighting for the American people tooth and nail like somebody like Bernie Sanders is, like people in the Progressive Caucus are. So the problem is you. That's why they're like, I don't know what you mean. It's like you watch a guy who just got broken up with by his girlfriend. And he's like, yeah, it's not a rejection of me. I mean, it was, she doesn't even want a new direction. She wants the same thing. It's just, you know, it happens. You know, she'll go back to John and then she'll come back to me. And that's, it's like an ebb and flow kind of thing. And I don't even think I'm in that big of trouble, really. I mean, I don't even think she wants even a new direction. Stop. It's all denial and deflection. And you're not going to fix the problem if you can't even fucking acknowledge the problem. And the heart of the problem is you're all bought and paid for. Now, it turns out Donald Trump, when push comes to shove, he's bought and paid for too. He just hid it better than you did. Now, I'm proposing, I don't even want you to try to hide it. I want you to actually stop it. I want you to move in the other direction and go towards crowdfunding and make a pledge. Hey, we will never take Wall Street money again. We will never take corporate money again. And we will never take billionaire money again. How do you like them apples? We're going to do this Bernie Sanders style, $27 at a time, and we want accountants donating to us. We want construction workers donating to us. We want teachers donating to us. That's what we want. We want working class Americans. That's who the Democratic Party is going to represent, and that's who we're going to fight for, and we're going to stop at nothing to get the goals accomplished for them that they want. They are the party. I'm not the party. They are the party. You want to raise the minimum wage? We're going to raise the minimum wage. You want to tax the rich? We're going to tax the rich. You want to stop the wars? We're going to stop the wars. This is how you win, but they can't even fucking see straight. Oh, there's nothing wrong. This is fine. It's like that meme. This is fine. This is fine. Nothing to see here. Even though the house is burning down, this is fine. No, it's not fine. And you can't even fucking acknowledge. Harry Reid went on to say, oh, it's all James Comey's fault, the FBI guy. Oh, again with this fucking canard, man. No, it's not James Comey's fault. They say, well, he announced the thing about the emails. Yeah, and he also cleared her as well. So he said, we're reopening the case, not really. And then before the election, a few days before, he goes, yeah, there's nothing here. So he cleared her. If anything, the argument you should be making is the opposite. He helped her at the last minute. But no, again, you got to deflect. Deflect, deflect, deflect. There's nothing wrong, nothing to see here. Everything's all good because we still want to maintain control of the party. The Democratic establishment and the Democratic elite are hanging on for dear life. And they're running out of tricks because for the longest time they pulled the wool over your eyes. Here we have a real progressive in this position, I promise. It's like with Howard Dean. Remember Howard Dean back when he actually was a progressive and then he sold out and became a lobbyist? You ever wonder why he recently was saying – he dropped out not that long ago, but he was trying to become the next DNC chair. You ever wonder, like, why is that? Well, it's because he used to be a progressive back in 2004 and – that was the establishment saying, okay, we're in trouble. We can't hang on. It's hard for us to hang on to power anymore because we fucked up so bad that, all right, put in this progressive here. Put in this faux progressive who now is a lobbyist and now is a sellout and tell people, like, oh, what do you mean, Steve? Remember when Howard Dean was progressive? He's still progressive. So he should be the head of the DNC even though he's going to do our bidding. See, some people behind the scenes get it. Some of the Democratic establishment people get it, which is why they're playing tricks, why they're doing stuff like that. But apparently the leadership of the party, Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi, they're like, what do you mean? I'm rich. My friends are rich. Sure, we didn't win this election, but whatever. We'll win eventually or something. Not if you keep doing exactly what you're doing, which is abandoning the people who you're supposed to be representing and selling out to the donors. So I don't know if you could tell, but we're done playing this game, man. Real liberals and real progressives say, fuck off. No more with this Democratic establishment. You're a joke. You're not going to get support anymore. You don't have the support anymore. You're a fucking house of cards. So you guys should not be in any position of power. You guys should not be in any leadership roles. It's time to step aside and let the progressive wing of the party take over, because that's the only hope the Democrats have for the future. Okay. Now, we go on to President Obama. President Obama weighed in for the first time on the issue of the role of racism in his presidency. Let's see what he had to say.
Republicans have strongly rejected charges that race played a role in their opposition.
I am, like a lot of Americans, concerned and disagree with the president. Policies and approaches from the stimulus spending to this health care strategy. Am I a racist because I disagree with that? I don't think so.
There are people who dislike me because they think I'm a liberal.
The president doesn't see racism in mainstream opposition to him, but he does see it on the fringes.
I think there's a reason why attitudes about my presidency among whites in northern states are very different from whites in southern states. So, you know, are there folks whose primary concern about me has been that I seem foreign, the other? Are those who championed the birther movement, you know, feeding off of bias? Absolutely.
Yeah, so this segment on YouTube got a massive number of dislikes. And I really don't understand why, because Fareed Zakaria said it right there. He doesn't view mainstream opposition to him as racism. He sees it on the fringes. That's a pretty banal, straightforward, accurate statement. Like, really? Not even on the fringes is there racism against him? Because he said, the first thing he said is, they don't like me because I'm a liberal. Well, okay. Correction, they don't like you because you're a Democrat. You're not really all that liberal. But yeah, you're a Democrat, and they don't like Democrats. Look at how they treated Bill Clinton when he was in office. Look at how they treated any Democrat. They don't like Democrats. They're Republicans. So yes, the mainstream opposition is that. But it is true that with Obama, there is a fringe element that is, yes, it does stem from tribalism and bigotry. Now, before everybody flips out, understand that there are two facts that, in my mind, prove that. So the first one is, 41% of Republicans think Obama is Kenyan. So they don't think he's born in the United States. Now, maybe at some point, maybe, that was a concern because, hey, the president's got to be born here and there are understandable reasons for that and so on and so forth. But Obama has released his short-form birth certificate. They said, that's not enough. That's not enough. We don't believe you. We think it's fake. Then he released his long-form birth certificate. They went, that's still not enough. Still not enough. Then he went into the archives of a Hawaiian newspaper that announced his birth. He's born in Hawaii. And they found it. They're like, oh, look, the announcement of his birth. They go, we don't believe that either. So you have short-form birth certificate, long-form birth certificate, Hawaiian newspaper archive that nobody fucking touched until they wanted to, okay, we got to dig it up and say, oh, look, there's the announcement of Obama's birth. Like, what the fuck do you think happened? What we'll do is, oh, we know he's born in Kenya, but we're going to, on the day of his birth, call Hawaii, go to Hawaii, and fucking tell them, like, can announce this birth in Hawaii, because eventually Barack Hussein Obama is going to run for president and he's going to win. No. Guys, even fucking Bill O'Reilly is like, yeah, the people who say he's not born in America, and he's Kenyan. They're crazy. They're crazy, and they're wrong. Bill O'Reilly says that. By the way, who was a leader in the birther movement not that long ago? Donald Trump. So what reason is there, if all the evidence and all the data and all the information is available, to say this guy is American? What reason is there? What motive is there to say, no, he's not one of us? No. I wonder. What makes him different from other Democratic presidents who got a lot of shit but never got that particular variety of shit? His skin color. Look, John McCain wasn't born in America. You're like, what? So think about it. At the same time, people were going nuts about where Obama was born. John McCain wasn't born in America. Total pass. The Republicans, I don't care. We'll vote for him anyway. So it doesn't matter when it's him, but it matters when it's Obama. Even though Obama wasn't born outside of the U.S., he was born in the U.S., and McCain was born outside of the U.S. McCain was born on a military base in Panama. Ted Cruz, how many of these Republicans who were, you know, we need the president to be born in the U.S.? We need the president to be born in the U.S. Ted Cruz was born in Canada. But what argument did they make? No, but he's still American because he came out of an American woman's vagina, so he's American. Well, then by that logic, even if Obama was born in Kenya, you should be saying he's American because he came out of an American woman's vagina. Double standards, hypocrisy, nonsense all over the place. They don't like him because he's black. Now, again, that's not it. So that's one aspect of it, which is if all the evidence and data is there that he's born in America, but you still say no, it's because of rank tribalism and bigotry. I get it. It's not hard to see. But then there's the other fact. Still to this day, depending on which poll you look at, some polls have it 43% of Republicans think Obama's Muslim, and 54%, and there was one poll as high as 54% who think he's Muslim. Again, so these are the same people who ranted against Obama for going to Reverend Wright's church. Reverend Wright's church. Which is it? Is he a radical Christian who you think is racist against whites, or is he a Muslim? Can't be both. Can't be a Christian Muslim. So, again, where does that stem from? See, with Obama, understand, guys, I'm one of those people where I'm very, very conservative, ironically, with the charge of racism. I'm like, oh, you're a racist. Because it is one of those things where, you know, you should only say it when it's totally accurate and there's a lot of evidence to back it up. You shouldn't just go around saying it because then it devalues and delegitimizes the concept of it, and it's a boy who cried wolf situation. And it's also, it could be a very hacky argument. I'm very aware of it because look at what happened with Hillary Clinton and sexism in this election. Everybody's a sexist. Bernie supporters are sexist, even though Bernie is a feminist and he's most liberal senator in the United States. You're a sexist. You're a sexist if you disagree with Hillary. See, that's McFeminism. And then there's also McLiberalism. Oh, I'm really liberal, but you're not, and you're just doing an act. There's also McRacism. Oh, I'm going to say that X, Y, and Z is racist even though it's not, because I just want to smear you. So I'm very sensitive to using the charge of racism, and if you find on this show, you can go back and look through a bunch of videos. My charges of racism are super rare and super few and far between, because you need to come correct and come with the evidence if you're going to make that charge. The claim that, at least on the fringes, there's, you know, opposition to Obama based on bigotry and racism, I think is the most banal, accurate statement ever, especially given the fact that 41% of Republicans say, I think he's Kenyan, despite all the evidence, and 43% to 54% of Republicans think he's Muslim, despite all the evidence. So, yes, Republicans are going to hate Democrats no matter what. We've seen that time and time again. We've seen it with Bill Clinton. We've seen it with other Democratic presidents. They don't like you because you're a Democrat. I got it. That's the mainstream opposition. With Obama, there was an extra level of, come on, guys, really, this one? This one? This one's not even American. This one's a Muslim, even though he's not. It all stems from fear of the other. This Manchurian candidate thing of like, oh, man, he's not even white. This is an issue. So, again, fringe problem, yes. Most of the opposition to him is based off knee-jerk hatred of Democrats from the Republican Party. But yes, of course there's fringe, you know, hatred of him because of racism. So I think that's a super conservative claim he's making, again, ironically, because he's not saying it's all racism. I mean, Hillary Clinton was in the camp, it's all or most of it is sexism. He's saying, oh, look, a fringe. Yeah, that's true, and I don't know how anybody can not acknowledge that given these two giant facts that I just laid out for you. Okay. All right, let me take my final break now, and then when we come back, Hillary Clinton is back giving speeches, oh no, and amazing story from Vice News for you about how pharmaceutical company executives are getting what's coming to them. So stay right there. We'll come back with that and much more. Enjoy the sweet, sweet sounds of more P.D. Pablo.
What up, now?
What up,
Sue? Here.
What?
Daddy, Stacey's on the phone.
Hello?
Hey, Stacey.
What up?
We're going to the car wash tonight, baby. We're going to get blinged up.
All right, I'm going to see you up there.
Show up.
Hey, hey, make sure you stay out of my room.
Bye.
My goodies, my goodies. My goodies, not my goodies.
Listen, girl, I got a big reputation for handling bros. All I need is me a few seconds and more than a rack. Tell the lady bring my lap, and I ain't coming back, so you can put a car right there. I'm the truth, and I ain't got nothing to prove. And you can ask anybody, cause they seem to do it. Barricades, I run right through them, I'm used to them. Throw all the dirt you want, you know what you do. Still won't have a pen up and a fabulous run. A bat, picking out a bath for the fruit.
Love you, boo.
Yeah, freaking Pete, love you too. You know how I do.
Look at me, you think that I'm just a younger, but I'm not just a younger baby. This is what I'm looking for. Let's be independent, gonna spend it, have to get it in the door. I'm being too dramatic, that's the way I gotta have it. I'll get you up and study, that you gotta study, that you a hot new body, make her the drum come down.
What's happening now? Hillary Clinton was at an event for Harry Reid, since he is leaving the Senate, and she gave a speech where she said something very concerning.
Let me just mention briefly one threat in particular that should concern all Americans, Democrats, Republicans, and independents alike, especially those who serve in our Congress. The epidemic of malicious fake news and false propaganda that flooded social media over the past year. It's now clear that so-called fake news can have real-world consequences. This isn't about politics or partisanship. Lives are at risk. Lives of ordinary people just trying to go about their days, to do their jobs, contribute to their communities. It's a danger that must be addressed, and addressed quickly. Bipartisan legislation is making its way through Congress to boost the government's response to foreign propaganda, and Silicon Valley is starting to grapple with the challenge and threat of fake news. It's imperative that leaders in both the private sector and the public sector step up to protect our democracy and innocent lives.
Okay, so I have a lot to say about this. First of all, she might loosely be referring to the fact that there was this story that people are calling Pizzagate. It's about how Hillary Clinton was accused of running a child sex ring out of a pizza place in Washington, D.C. Okay, that is fake, and it's ridiculous. So, look, is it true that there are some, you know, things out there that are just beyond preposterous, and if people believe it, it's actually, you know, it can lead to real-world consequences that are devastating? Yeah, I mean, there was another story recently about how a Sandy Hook truther threatened, you know, the mother of a child who died in Sandy Hook. Oh, no. So, yes, there are examples of horrific stories that potentially lead to bad action. Now, having said that, the answer is not government legislation. In fact, that would make the problem worse. Because what are you talking about? Oh, we're going to, you know, there's bipartisan legislation making its way through Congress to address this. Okay, there are countries that do things that are similar. There was a story in the news yesterday about how China, in a certain province of China, they'll now fine you up to $72,000 for fake news. How is fake news defined? Anything that doesn't toe the line of the government. So any dissent, anything that they don't like, anything that the authorities don't like, they go, oh, fake, fine you or throw you in jail or something. Yeah, Hillary, that's called a fucking police state with no rights and no freedom. Certainly no freedom of speech, no freedom of the press, no freedom of expression. So the fact that you'd say this and not understand how you're coming across as cracking down the First Amendment is unbelievable to me. But then furthermore, really, you're going to make this speech? Hillary fucking Clinton is going to make this speech. If you want to have a conversation about fake news, I think you should open the conversation with the fact that you bought into the fake news on Iraq having weapons of mass destruction, and you voted for the war, which led to hundreds of thousands of innocent civilians dead, our own soldiers dead, and the occupation of a country that didn't attack us. So spare me. I mean, that's the real dangerous fake news. The dangerous fake news that broke the Middle East. Saddam did not have weapons of mass destruction. Saddam did not do 9/11. And then you just move the goalpost to, I guess he's a bad guy. There's a lot of bad guys in the world. That doesn't mean you go in there and do a fucking over a decade-long war and kill hundreds of thousands of civilians. So you're the last person to make this criticism. And also, it's not just so people would say, well, okay, Kyle, you're going far back there. Yeah, but that was a fake news story that really devastated the world, and you had dick to say about it then. In fact, you never even called it fake news. It took her until 2014 to come out against the Iraq War. Republicans had flipped before she did. But then furthermore, fake news. You mean like when your surrogates went out during the primary and argued, oh, no, the WikiLeaks aren't, during the election in general, I should say, and said, no, the WikiLeaks are fake. Now, that's totally made up. But they said, oh, the WikiLeaks, there's a bunch of them are fake. Why do they do that? Because they are doing fake news to try to negate actual information that might hurt their candidate. So don't talk to me about fucking fake news. Fake news like, oh, Bernie bros exist and they're super sexist and that's why they're against Hillary. Right, Bernie supporters who are supporting a feminist, he's a feminist, he's described himself as a feminist, and somebody who's the most liberal senator in the U.S., who's fought for women's rights, who's fought for everybody's rights for decades, yeah, we're sexist, that's what it is. You got us. That's fake news. That's fake news and that's a smear campaign. But in your mind, fake news to serve your purposes, totally cool. Fake news that disagrees with your opinions and policy positions and feeling, well, you know, they're the problem. No. This is Orwell 101. Oh, fake news. It's such a real scandal that maybe we need to pass laws to go after it. And then maybe we use those laws to crack down on anything that doesn't fit our narrative. Yeah. No. David Brock, one of your top henchmen, does fake news. The Media Matters, which is the Breitbart of the left, which is ironically, he says, I want to create a Breitbart of the left. You already did it. It's called Media Matters. They've used hacky arguments all along. You know, like, oh, fake news, except unless it suits my own purposes, in which case I love it and it's grandfathered in. But if it disagrees with me, you know, well, then it's a problem. And maybe we need legislation against it. That's fundamentally against the Constitution. That's fundamentally against the First Amendment. And even though it is true, there's a lot of malicious fake shit out there, I would never pass legislation against it. You have to just find a way to raise awareness and let people know, don't just, anything that just suits your bias, don't just, oh, that's got to be true. Be reasonable. Think it through, you know? And that's not going to work. You're not going to stop everybody from believing some bullshit, but it's better to have freedom and the downsides associated with freedom than to restrict freedom and also, by the way, create massive problems, even bigger problems, because we already know what it's like when governments restrict free speech and the free press. Look at China. Look at any totalitarian state. That's worse off. There's more repression and oppression, and there's more downsides to that than having the occasional story which leads to some bad actions. Again, I get it. I'm not downplaying that, but I'm saying you have to weigh the factors, and you always need to fall on the side of free speech rights and free press rights. That's not even a question. And she's out there. By the way, the first or second time she's making an appearance in public since losing. Actually, one other time it was at a fucking cocktail party with rich people. Go figure. And she's been spotted in the woods hiking like a fucking Yeti. People are like, oh, Hillary Clinton sighting. Now she's at this Harry Reid event where Harry Reid's going away. Weird. Bernie Sanders has been a standing rock and given speeches about how he stands with Native Americans. Bernie Sanders has been out there still fighting for actual liberal policy issues. Hillary only shows up for donor parties and to berate people about how we need to crack down on a free press. I'm shocked. I can't figure out why she lost. Okay. All right, now let's go to a Fox News doctor who made an ass of himself. A Fox News doctor, has an interesting theory on what might lower the suicide rate in the U.S. Check it out.
Two Princeton University economists identified rising death rates in white, middle-aged Americans, driven largely by increases in deaths from suicide, drug overdoses, alcohol abuse, and chronic liver diseases. And when I read that, all I see there is sadness. Like those are disease. That's when you're sad. There's something more going on than just you're eating badly. What's your read on that? Why that's happening?
You know, I think that, you know, there's been a lot of hopelessness in this country, and the opioid addiction problem has been huge. That's been a huge cause of death, you know, accidental overdoses and suicide, especially among teenagers and children. I think that, you know, we have to give our kids hope again, and, you know, I'm hoping with the new administration we can actually do that, make people feel good about what's going on, support our children, support our seniors, make sure that everybody feels like they've got a fighting chance. Yep.
Look, I don't want to blow it up too much because he said, I hope that with the new administration, you know, suicide rates can be lowered. The headlines on this were like, you know, Fox doctor says Trump will lower suicide rates or some shit like that. There's misleading headlines, and that's not exactly accurate. He said, I hope with the new administration it'll lower suicide rates. That's such a goofy thing to say, though. Trump's so great, man. Make it so people want to live. It's what it is. Okay. The funny thing is that they've actually studied this. They've studied not Trump specifically to give him – so give him a total pass real quick. But just in general, conservative governments versus liberal governments. And it is true in every study they've done across the board that when you have liberal governments in power, suicide rates plummet. That's awesome. Because he's like, oh, I hope that, you know, Trump will lower suicide rates. Well, based on the track record of the Republican Party or just conservative parties in general the world over, that ain't a good bet, son. Because, and there's a really, really understandable reason why, too. Under conservative governments, by and large, there's different conceptions of conservatism, admittedly. So some people say, hey, I just believe in tradition. That's one view of conservatism. But another common view is small government. Hey, we believe in small government. So what goes hand in hand with small government? Well, cutting the social safety net. So any programs that might help poor people, might help middle class people, might make it so that the system is more on their side, and yes, they tax the rich more under liberal administrations. Any system like that provides more material support. So it doesn't happen. It's not the case with everybody that, hey, more material support will lessen the burden of depression or whatever it is to the point where you won't kill yourself. But it happens with enough people where it's statistically significant, where if they feel like society is not going to leave them behind, not going to leave them homeless, if they give them some material support when times are rough, hey, you're out of a job, you're in trouble, you can't make ends meet, well, okay, there's unemployment, there's, you know, there's something to fall back on, food stamps to feed the kids, so on and so forth. It just so happens when you have liberal governments that look out for poor and middle-class people more with the social safety net, with redistribution of wealth, less people kill themselves because they're not as desperate as they would be if it's conservative governments where they cut these things to the bone and they kind of proudly say, like, yeah, no, we don't believe that's the purpose of government. We don't believe government should be there to be a social safety net and to give people an opportunity and a hand up when they're down. They believe more in the winner-take-all, you know, meritocracy idea of tax everybody low and the social safety net isn't as important as the values to try to pick yourself up by your own bootstraps. So that's why this story is noteworthy to me. It's not, again, I think the headline was a little misleading on Raw Story where they said he says Trump will lower suicide rates. No, he didn't. He said he hopes Trump will lower suicide rates. But it's funny because the exact opposite is actually true when you look at the studies. There's been countless studies on this. In conservative governments, suicide rates increase. In liberal governments, they decrease. And again, it's very understandable, straightforward reason as to why that is. Okay, now, oh, we're cruising here. We might actually finish a little early. I do have three stories left, though, so. Still a lot to get to, bitch. My stomach is, like, I'm feeling like it's in growl mode. I might, mid-story, you might hear, like, burr. I would take a sip of the thing next to me again, but God damn it, it was gross. It's been there for too long. Wrong. Okay. I have an amazing story here for you from Vice News. They report, several former top executives at a pharmaceutical company that sell the powerful painkiller fentanyl were arrested Thursday and accused of bribing doctors, defrauding insurance companies, and fueling America's opioid addiction crisis. Federal prosecutors in Massachusetts charged Michael Babich. Babich just threw me off and randomly threw in a Barbara. Charged Michael Babich, the 40-year-old former CEO of Insys Therapeutics, with conspiracy to commit racketeering and a range of other crimes related to sales of Subsys, a sublingual fentanyl spray intended for cancer patients experiencing severe pain. Okay, so basically what was happening is, among other crimes, you had these pharmaceutical executives bribing doctors to overprescribe fentanyl. Now, why is that a really, really big issue? Because fentanyl is basically as dangerous a drug as you can get. Now, I need everybody to understand, and I want to be crystal clear about this. So everybody knows, I'm in favor of legalizing, taxing, and regulating drugs. So you might say, well, what do you mean? You're warning about drugs that are dangerous? I thought you were on the side of legalizing all of them. When I say legalize, tax, and regulate, a lot hinges on that last word, regulation. So yes, I'd legalize drugs, but that doesn't mean that, for example, crocodile would be legal in its current state, because crocodile makes it so that people die like within a year of taking it. The way it's cut with toxic chemicals and poisonous shit makes it so that people's skin literally rots off. So in my utopian society, no, I wouldn't allow that drug. I'd allow a derivative of an opiate that doesn't make your skin rot off. So you can regulate the worst kinds of drugs out of existence and allow more mild versions of that kind of drug, an opiate or an opioid, to give you that sensation and that high. So I wouldn't have crystal meth legalized, because, again, there are huge downsides to that. And you've seen the stories, I'm sure, of people's fucking skin looking gross and their teeth is about to fall out because of the way it's cut and the way it's made. So what you do is you legalize a more mild form of a stimulant and have that. So, yes, there's a lot that you regulate in it. So anyway, this is a long way of me saying, for fentanyl, it is one of the most dangerous drugs. Why? Well, fentanyl is a synthetic opioid that's about 100 times more powerful than morphine and 40 times more powerful than heroin. All right, so when you break your leg in a car accident and you go to the hospital, they give you morphine. And guess what? You don't feel the pain. You want to know why? Because they gave you morphine. And morphine numbs that bitch right up. Your whole body, you feel, you know, it's like a euphoric kind of high, but it's morphine is powerful enough where it's fairly incapacitating. If you have morphine, you're just going to lay there. Heroin, same thing. Apparently heroin's a little more strong than morphine, which, by the way, I didn't know. I was under the impression morphine and heroin were basically the same thing, and they are. But I guess heroin's a little more powerful. So that's super-duper-duper powerful shit, man, where it'll incapacitate you, and you'll feel good, and it'll dull your pain, but it incapacitates you. There's a drug that exists that's 100 times more powerful than morphine and 40 times more powerful than heroin. Oh, no, 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 no. You know who needs that? Almost nobody. That drug is for people who are, like, 2 or 3 days away from death, and they are in the most excruciating pain humanly possible from a terminal illness. That is literally what it's made for. That is exactly what it's made for. So you have these unscrupulous pharmaceutical company executives who go to doctors and bribe them to overprescribe fentanyl. Overprescribe? Who the fuck are you prescribing fentanyl to if it's not people who are on death's doorstep? And that's the problem. Is that what they were doing? They're just fucking giving it out like candy. Oh, whatever. You got this pain. You got a backache. You got this. You got that. Here, fentanyl, fentanyl, fentanyl. Of course that's going to put the opioid crisis into hyperdrive. You're flooding the market with the most powerful opioid, and it's going to kill people. You want to know why? Because people can overdose on heroin and morphine alone. When you give somebody something 100 times more potent, they're definitely going to overdose. By the way, there's speculation that that's what happened to Philip Seymour Hoffman. Philip Seymour Hoffman got his regular dose of heroin that he was used to taking, so he knows the amounts he could take, but it was laced with fentanyl. Fentanyl, again, being 40 times more potent than heroin, the same dose, which would have been his normal dose of heroin, made it so he died. He overdosed. And this has happened all over the streets. It's not just Philip Seymour Hoffman. It's a bunch of all over the streets. Oh, my God, this person's overdosing, that person's overdosing. How do you get overdoses at these gigantic high numbers, these ridiculous rates? Because a lot of the shit is laced with fentanyl, because they flooded the market with fentanyl, because pharmaceutical companies bribed the doctors to overprescribe it. So people, like, the drug addicts, I know that there's a lot of propaganda, and people think, like, oh, drug addicts, they got no control or anything. They actually kind of know the dose that gets them high, and, you know, so, and I'm not excusing it, I'm just saying that they're kind of aware of it. So when you have all these overdoses, it's not because they all just randomly had too much one day, it's because it's laced with some fucked up shit, probably fentanyl in almost every case. So now they're cracking down on these pharmaceutical executives because this was an unscrupulous move, and they probably didn't even understand the consequence of their actions. They probably didn't even get it that, oh, no, you're going to, like, kill a lot of people because this drug should really not be used by anybody except in the latest stages. I mean, basically what you're talking about here, it's almost like you wanted to have a glass of wine and somebody gave you fucking moonshine. Like, what's moonshine? The one that's 100 proof or whatever? Is it like 100% alcohol, which would mean 200 proof? I don't know. It's the super powerful one. But, like, you want wine and they give you moonshine, but you don't know because in this example, the moonshine would taste like the wine. So you got three glasses of wine, which you'd normally be okay with, and you die. You get alcohol poisoning. That's what this is like. And they're doing it for fucking profit. They're doing it for profit. So, yes, they should go to jail, and yes, they should crack down on this. And, of course, you need to have regulation of the drug marketplace. Even though I want to legalize, tax, and regulate drugs, a lot hinges on that last word, regulation. Because if you legalize it, then you can regulate the worst in existence out of existence. And see, this is what's happening here. So these guys were a pharmaceutical company, legitimate. Now they caught them. They know they were overprescribing to doctors, and hopefully they're going to go to jail because they bribed the doctors and they did insurance fraud and a whole bunch of other problems. Okay, now. Do-do-do-do-do, bitch. On the anniversary of the Pearl Harbor attacks, the Department of Defense decided to take a giant swipe at Colin Kaepernick for his recent protest. They said on Twitter, "You can bet that the men and women we honor today and those who died that fateful morning 75 years ago never took a knee and never failed to stand whenever they heard our national anthem being played." So again, Department of Defense tweeting this out, and they were quoting a speech by Admiral Harry Harris, which is an awesome name. He got, I think, a standing ovation, too, by the way, when he said this.
Yeah, stand for our anthem. No, yeah, stand for our anthem. Faux patriotism. Oh.
And it is bizarre that the Department of Defense is going to tweet this out. I mean, the Pentagon. The Pentagon lecturing anybody about patriotism is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. We just covered the story. $125 billion in waste. They found in a report where they're like, yeah, no, this is all going overhead and unnecessary shit, and we can cut it out. They buried the report. They buried the report because they wanted to keep the money. They didn't want to expose how bad the waste is at the Pentagon. So for any other program, a program for poor people, a program for middle-class people, you find $125 billion in waste, and they're going to go to work. They're going to take a hatchet to that motherfucker, and they're going to really get angry about it. But if it's $125 billion to the Pentagon, they bury the report and everybody shut the fuck up. Pentagon's allowed to do it because what? Are you unpatriotic? Are you unpatriotic? We're allowed to waste as much money as we want. As fucking Flint doesn't even have clean water and our infrastructure gets a grade of D. But we can waste as much as we want. And you need to shut up because if you don't, you're unpatriotic. There's also, because of bad bookkeeping, they're like, oh yeah, $6.5 trillion. I don't know where it went. I don't know. Probably because it went to, you know, defense contractors who got no big contracts for Iraq and they price gouged the fuck out of the American taxpayers. So the Pentagon's like, oh, look, our books are fucked up. What are you going to do? $6.5 trillion. And they're going to lecture other people about patriotism. What, you don't think that money could be used here at home? Like, we don't have a million and one problems? Like, we don't have hundreds of thousands of homeless people? Like, we don't have, what is it? 50% of the American people make $30,000 a year or less? Please. Okay. So that's the first angle to this. The second angle to this is, hey, jackasses, you're proving his point. So you're supposed to be protecting Colin Kaepernick's freedom of speech and his freedom to protest. But instead, you, the government, the Department of Defense, the Pentagon, the government, you are taking an official position against it. Allow me to introduce you to this thing called the First Amendment, you dumb motherfuckers. You're dumb. You're dumb. I'm saying it. You're dumb. You're proving his point. His point is, look, man, dissent is the highest form of patriotism. What we need to do is we need to stand up to our government when they're wrong, not because we hate our government, but because we want to create a more perfect union. We want to make the country a better country. We want to make it so that we improve it for our kids and our kids' kids. And the only way to do that is through constructive criticism. So that's what I'm doing when I'm protesting police brutality. So that is the more American point. That's somebody who's living the values of the United States of America, and you guys are doing the opposite as you claim the mantle of patriotism. With your free speech and your free protest. www.zipit.com. Do our bullshit fucking symbolism and shut the fuck up. So the symbolism is, oh, I'm going to wear a hat that says USA on it or Make America Great Again. And I'm going to put a fucking Eagle bumper sticker on my car and say, I support the troops and I stand for the pledge. But that's faux patriotism. That's window dressing. That's kabuki theater. Actual patriotism is, let's try to fix the problems in the country and let's give the country tough love. It's like if you find out that your kid just got an F in school and is doing crystal meth. Is the thing to do because you love your kid? I'm going to let my son do all the meth in the world and get even more F's because I love my kid. Support him. No, the thing to do if you love your kid is, come on, Ted. We got to have a talk. I always say Ted. I don't know why I go with Ted for male names. I was going to say Steve, but I always go Steve, too. Fuck, my male name meter is limited. Derek. Come on, Derek. Let's have a talk, buddy. Sit down. Okay. You're going to stop with the mess. We're going to fix it. We're going to put you in rehab. We're here for you, buddy. But we're going to just tough love now. And also, we're getting you a tutor, but you're going to bust ass and you're going to do better in math class and in whatever classes you got to F in. And you might not like it, but hey, look, we're giving you tough love because we love you. That's what Colin Kaepernick is doing to America. Oh, I'm not going to stand for the national anthem. You want to know why? Because police brutality happens way more often in this country than it does in other modern countries, and I want it to stop. So I'm going to sit out the national anthem until you guys get your act together and you make it so that police have body cameras, for example. We have special prosecutors when there's an incident of a police officer killing an unarmed civilian. So you don't have an officer who has ties to the prosecutor who's supposed to crack down on him. And the list goes on and on. And the drug war, you name it. All these reforms that can be done to fix the problem, he's raising awareness and attention to the problem and giving the country tough love. But these jackasses at the fucking Department of Defense, the Pentagon, go, we're against it and we're going to let you know, even though it's probably unconstitutional for us to come out against it because we're an official government body and we're saying we are against you saying X. That would be a restriction of freedom of speech, and you're too stupid to even realize it because you're drunk on the fake patriotism. I love my country! So I never do nothing wrong. We ain't never done nothing wrong. My kid is still doing crystal meth and getting F's, but I love him. I love him. Let me tell you, done nothing wrong. He ain't do nothing wrong. No, he did, and we're going to address it, and that's the right thing to do, and that's the patriotic thing to do when it comes to your country. Okay. All right, final story of the day. Jennifer Lawrence was on the Graham Norton show, and she caused a giant controversy over one of the stories that she told. Let's watch.
So you were filming, was it, where were these rocks? Were they kind of on the coast? Were they in the mountains?
We were filming in Hawaii, and there were sacred rocks, and they were, I don't know, they were ancestors, who knows. They were sacred, and you're not supposed to sit on them because you're not supposed to expose your genitalia to them.
Bless.
I, however, was in a wetsuit for this whole shoot. So
it doesn't count, right?
Oh, my God, they were so good for butt itches. One rock that I was butt scratching on ended up coming loose. It was a giant boulder, and it rolled down this mountain and almost killed our sound guy. Like, the whole station, like, got destroyed. It was like, poof, like, it was a huge dramatic deal, and all the Hawaiians were like, oh, my God, it's the curse. In the corner, like, going, I'm your curse. I wedged it loose with my ass.
So, a lot of liberals are angry about this, and they're basically saying, you're being a dick because you're being super culturally insensitive and you're not respecting their traditions, and that's just an asshole thing to do. How dare you? That's basically the argument being made. Now, I don't know if I'm losing my liberal credibility here or I'm being a dick, but I don't agree, man. I don't agree. And in fact, I would argue the exact opposite, that if anything, she's the one that's being more liberal here, and the people who are mad at her are actually being really conservative. Because, I don't know, I guess it stems from this idea of like, oh, as a liberal, you should respect everybody's culture, and cultures are all equal, and they're all, they all deserve our respect. No, that I don't, so by that logic, then shouldn't you treat as a liberal conservative culture in Mississippi equal to democratic culture in Hawaii or New York or California? Those are super democratic states. Well, no, right? Because you would argue, well, you know, the culture of liberals in New York is obviously better than the culture of conservatives in Mississippi. The conservatives in Mississippi have a history of, you know, being cracking down on race relations and not being open-minded and yada yada. Well, this strikes me as a classic example of she didn't intend to hurt anybody's feelings. She's just telling a story which she thinks is funny, and get over it. Like, I know I sound like an asshole, but I don't view this as much different than, let's say, somebody from overseas, wherever, pick a random fucking country, I don't know, somebody from Thailand comes to the U.S., and they're staying at a bed and breakfast in a southern state, and they don't say grace at dinner, let's say. So, you know, you have a conservative Christian family, and they have these tourists from Thailand there, and time to say grace, everybody, they'll hold hands, they'll say some grace here, and they don't do it. And let's say they do something offensive in the middle of it, they burp or something. And then the families are like, well, how dare you just offended Jesus? You offended our culture. What would a liberal say in that scenario? They'd say, I'm going to file that under, I need you to get the fuck over it, because it's not a big deal. And traditions are not correct by definition, and traditions aren't, I don't need to respect your tradition, and you don't need to respect my tradition. And no one needs to respect any tradition, because it's called freedom. So, you know, just as I would defend the guy from Thailand who did that and say, whatever, get over it, it's no big deal. I'm going to defend Jennifer Lawrence here and say, it's no big deal. It's not. So she told a story that she thought was funny about scratching her ass on a rock, and people are getting upset over it. Oh, they're sacred rocks, they're this and that. Are we allowed to mention in the conversation here that there is no such thing as an actual sacred rock? You know, it's like if a Muslim says, you can't draw Muhammad. What? I'm not Muslim. I can do whatever the fuck I want. Yeah, but it offends my culture. I don't give a shit. It's got nothing to do with me. I don't have to abide by your rules that you made up in your culture. If you want to abide by your own rules in that culture, by all means. But I'm not tied down by that. So I don't want to live in a society where everybody gets to tell everybody else what to do based on what they're offended and not offended by. Because that's stupid, and that's a society that has no freedoms whatsoever. So I don't want a society where we walk on eggshells and where everybody's upset to say what they really believe and what they really think. And then I'm going to come full circle here to the last point, which is I do think that this is one of the reasons why, broadly speaking, from a societal perspective, Trump won. There's a lot of things that go into it. I mean, Hillary Clinton was massively corrupt, and she's an establishment insider. But also, people are sick of the, like, Hillary, everybody who doesn't agree with me is a sexist. Everybody who doesn't vote for me is a sexist. Bernie bro, sexist, sexist, sexist. Well, this is like, oh, you're a bigot because you're not respecting the fucking Hawaiian sacred rocks that you didn't know dick about at the time, and you think it's a funny story that one of them fell because of your ass. Like, no, she's not a bigot, she's not a bad person, she's telling a story that she thought was funny, and some people who really believe in the mythology are offended by it. That's no different than Christians being offended when somebody outside of Christianity offends one of their cultural traditions and makes a joke about it, or Muslims being offended, a fundamentalist Muslim being offended when somebody outside of the tradition makes fun of one of their cultural practices. I want everybody to be able to make fun of everybody and nobody to have a fucking stick up their ass. But you offended me! I don't give a fuck, and that's not a liberal position. It's not a liberal thing to say, if somebody's offended, shut off. and you need to kowtow to the feelings and whims of every single person who, you know, you have made feel slightly uncomfortable. I believe the liberal position and the position that involves freedom is the position of, let's all say what we want, let's be open and honest, and if I offend you, whatever. If you offend me, whatever. It is what it is. It's called being a human being. You don't have a right to not be offended. So, I don't know. I don't think she committed any egregious wrong here. I think she's telling a story that she thought was funny with pure intent, no malicious intent. And if people are getting really bent out of shape over it, I would argue, hey, maybe it's time to evaluate your goofy-ass myths. And you, let's,
oh, you're being a bigot, Kyle.
No, I say the same thing to people in my culture. I was raised Catholic. Hey, Catholics, wake up. What the fuck are you doing? Evaluate your own myths. They're not true. I say that to everybody. So I'm not going to put in a special category Hawaiians or anybody else and say, you don't have to evaluate your myths. No, you all evaluate your myths. They're not true. They're goofy. And if somebody doesn't respect them, I say, good. I don't give a shit. All right, I'm out of time, guys. I love you, and we'll see you here on Monday. Mwah, peace.